Shushas Haran, we are up to page Ayin Chit in the Shalem edition, Reish Dalit in the Mosad Erev Kook edition. And the Ran had been developing the idea that prophecy is connected to our physical state. Our happiness, our physical and spiritual state are intertwined. And that was the idea of Yitzhak and Yaakov. If the blessings were just Yitzchak verbalizing what Yitzchak wants to say, so then Yaakov has no benefit from tricking his father in our parsha. What do you gain? Your father thinks he's blessing Esav, and turns out it's Yaakov. What do you gain? And then obviously Esav has room to come with claims and to lay claim to the blessings. But the blessings were not an expression of Yitzchak's own thoughts. They were Hashem's spirit speaking through Yitzchak. Yitzchak was a mere vessel. As a prophet, he was expressing what Hashem wanted to be expressed. And so he had no control over what he would say. Yitzchak was like a trumpet. Yitzchak was like a loudspeaker for someone's voice. You don't say the loudspeaker is doing the talking. The person talking through the loudspeaker, he's doing the talking. So Yitzchak was, so to speak, Hashem's mouthpiece. And that's why the fact that Yitzchak thinks he's blessing Esav, that makes no difference. It's not Yitzchak giving the blessing. The blessings don't rest based on Yitzchak's intent, but what's happening here is that Hashem's spirit rests on him, and through Yitzchak the blessing comes out to the person standing there, and Hashem knows exactly who's standing there. And this applies not only to spiritual things, but also to natural things. For example, if someone plans on planting wheat, and he happens to be holding in his hand seeds of barley, then the fact that he meant to plant wheat is not going to make wheat grow in that field. If he threw down barley seeds, well, barley is going to grow. Well, that's not going to affect what's going to grow, because, he meant to plant wheat. Just like you can't affect what grows in the ground, you, after you've thrown those seeds, the fact that you meant it should be one way doesn't make it grow that way. By the same token, the prophet has no control over his prophecy. He is a mere vessel. And that's what Yitzchak tells Esav. Esav comes charging in. Yitzchak says, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm Esav." What does Yitzchak tell him? Va'ochal mikol beterem tavo, I ate everything he gave me before you came. Va'avarechehu, when I blessed him, gam baruch yiyeh. And in truth, he is going to be blessed. That blessing is there. There's no taking it back. Ve'omro gam baruch yiyeh, so what Yitzchak tells Esav, and in truth, he will be blessed, ein pirusho sheyechzor ve'yikeyem habracha liyakov. The Ran says, I don't say like Rashi says. Rashi says that when Yitzchak told Esav, gam baruch yiyeh, what Yitzchak was saying is, now that I know the truth, I'll tell you the truth. He does deserve the blessings. Obviously Hashem meant it to be this way, and I validate that Yaakov should be blessed. The Ran says that's not so. Yitzchak wasn't coming to validate the blessings he gave Yaakov. Ki im ken haya le'esav b'zeh terom et rav al aviv. Because if that's really what was happening here, the Ran asks a strong question against Rashi. Then Esav should have been pretty upset at his dad. I understand the first time you were tricked, but what are you validating it for? If that's what's going on here. And you don't find that Esav got upset at this. What we see is Yitzchak tells him, what can I do for you now? It's as if Yitzchak's saying, it's as though Yitzchak's telling him, if only I could, believe me, I'd love to do what you want. You read the psukim, seems to be contradictory. What's going on here? It says, Esav runs in, Yitzchak asks him, who are you? He says, I'm Esav, what do you mean, Dad? Yitzchak says, The pasuk says Yitzchak was gripped with a great fear. He suddenly realized what happened, and then he says, "Ah, but Yaakov should really be blessed. What's going on here? A minute ago you were scared. How did that happen?" And a second later you're saying, "Ah, but the blessings will be fulfilled." The answer is that he's not coming to give Yaakov anything when he says "Gam baruch yeh." The Ran doesn't learn like Rashi. Aval perusho, the Ran learns what happened here is Vavarecheyu shelo midati. Yitzchak was telling Esav, you know, your brother came in here and I blessed him not knowing it was him. V'im kol ze baruch yeh, but you know what? The blessing is there. I can't take it back. Because I don't control the blessing. That's what Yitzchak was saying when he said Gam baruch yeh. He's saying, there's nothing I can do at this point. It was God who blessed him. I was just the mouthpiece. Aval kefi ruach asher alai, through the spirit that was with me, Hashem blessed him. But at the end of the day, it's Hashem's blessing. I can't take it back. Yitzchak is telling Esav, I have no choice in the matter. I don't control the blessing, and so he's going to have that blessing. Why does Yitzchak say Gam baruch yeh? The word gam seems to indicate that he's adding, and he really will be blessed. What's he adding to it? So the Ran explains that because Yitzchak was so scared, so Yitzchak was stunned, and what he was stunned was that not only was Yaakov able to trick me, but it worked. Gam baruch yeh, Yitzchak, that was part of what shocked Yitzchak. Hey, he got away with it. He did trick me, and he will be blessed. Yitzchak himself was shocked when he said Gam baruch yeh. He was like saying, you know, your brother tricked me, and you know what? It's going to work. He's got the blessings. He's going to get away with it. That's the gam. And it's, and you know what? He's going to get away with it. That's the gam baruch yeh. Klomar, mi hu zeh asher sivev she'avarcheu v'sheyeh baruch al kochi. What Yitzchak was saying is, who is it? Who got away with this to get the blessing against my better judgment? Hinei nitba'er shelo haya chisaron babrachot klal bevarech Yitzchak et Yaakov. So we've explained that really the fact that Yitzchak meant to bless Esav did not detract from Yaakov's blessings in the slightest. But the Ran goes back to the point he mentioned last week. So why did it have to play itself out this way? In order that the blessing be more whole. Because Yitzchak loves Esav. And if Yitzchak realizes that Esav is such a bum, then Yitzchak isn't going to be so happy. So Hashem had it that Yitzchak thinks he has two gems. He has a Yaakov, he has an Esav. And he wants to bless Esav. And until this day, Yitzchak doesn't realize where Esav's holding in the world. And the reason for it, said the Ran, was so that Yitzchak would have a happier life, and as such be able to attain greater prophecy, and give a greater blessing to Yaakov. So Hashem has it that Yitzchak is so happy, he thinks it's Esav's blessing, and so he can attain such heights and give such a blessing to the one who deserves it, to Yaakov. Mitzuraf el zeh, another reason why Hashem wanted Yitzchak to bless Yaakov in error is the following. Ki Hashem yitbarach asher lo nitkenu alilot. Hashem has the whole plan. We don't know what Hashem's planning, right? But Hashem does know. He knows why things have to look the way they do. And Hashem has things play themselves out in a very convoluted fashion. Sometimes you wonder, hey, why did it have to play itself out this way? The Ran is coming back to a concept he elaborated on a few speeches ago, and that is that Hashem wanted enmity between these two powers in the world. Hashem wanted to have a force in the world that would be our arch enemy. There would always be that nemesis waiting to come and bite us, so that we'd know if we sin, there is someone standing there ready to hit us with Hashem's anger. Hashem began by making it their nature that in utero the two can't stand one another. What's going on? They don't know how to put their hand on their head. They're two babies. What do they know? But they're fighting it out in utero. Yeah, because their nature is, Hashem wanted from the first second, from their conception, that you have two forces that are antithetical to one another. And Hashem kept this theme going. And if you follow the story, you're going to see time after time, these two brothers can't stand one another and they shouldn't stand one another. This is part of Hashem's plan. Initially the Torah says the two were fighting inside her. Rivka says, what am I suffering so much for? The Medrash says, our sages say that Rivka felt this is a very strange pregnancy. Something's wrong here. She started talking to other pregnant women. What do women do? Whenever a woman has some female issue, she calls a bunch of other females and says, did you ever have this? Is this normal? I'm vomiting every morning that I'm pregnant. And the other woman says, sure, you're going to vomit every morning. Try to eat crackers and eat small meals and try to eat lemon juice and try to eat sour things and suck on a lemon candy. And this works for me and that works for me. That's what women do. So Rivka goes to other women and she starts asking them, have you ever had this? Vatoman alone. The women say, no, something like that we never had. So Rivka says, if what I'm suffering is unnatural, why am I singled out? Why am I different? Rivka sees she's having a more treacherous pregnancy than anyone else had. And so Rivka says, why? She went to seek out Hashem. So she went to ask the prophet, do I have to do tshuva on something? Why am I suffering like this? What does Hashem want from me? Vaita tshuva, so the prophet answers her, Vayomer Hashem lash neguim bevitnech shnei lomim imeaych yiparedu. Hashem tells her, there are two nations in your stomach. These two nationalities are going to be divided from the time they leave your womb. Hodiah, what the prophet was telling her is, Ki eila ubarim rashei shnei goyim v'umot atzumot. These two are the heads of two great nations, asher lo ye'otu ze laze klal, that they can't stand one another. They are antithetical to one another. They cannot be in the same room together. They cannot be in the same womb together. When the two are together, there's no tranquility. There's a constant struggle between the two. And so Hashem gave these two fetuses the exact opposite nature. The marker for this, where you could see it, is you could see it even in their physical shapes as they come out. You see, omnam yitziratam. Look at the way they were fashioned. Ki haya Esav admoni ba'al se'ar. Esav is born. He's all red. He's covered with hair. He's got a beard. His head is covered with hair. He's a hippie from the minute he's born. He's got hair on his chest, hair on his back. What a baby! Moral retichato v'tikbot chomo. That is indicative of what might he has. That is indicative of what anger he has. Esav is born angry and he's going to maintain anger his whole life. V'Yaakov ishchalak. Yaakov is born, he's a smooth baby. Moral tov tivo v'shivui mizgo. Yaakov's a calm fellow. Yaakov has a tranquil nature. Yaakov has he's good natured. V'chen midotam radfu mezek kol echad. Kamidot, and you also find that their traits were going after their nature. Kamidot imiyot shena nechechiyot kefi amezek, even though you don't have to have the traits of your nature, meaning some people are born angry and they tame their anger. Some people are born uptight and they tame it. You don't have to be according to your nature, but nonetheless, nimshachot acharav be'emet, in essence, you do find your tendencies, your traits following your tendencies. You don't have to be that way, but at the end of the day, the nature is, if you're not going to work really hard, then people end up the way they're predisposed. People do end up following what's natural to them. That's why the Pasuk tells us, Esav, Esav was such an angry fellow. He was a hunter. That was in Esav's nature. To be cunning. To go and outsmart the animals. That's how you hunt. Esav was a man of the field. He wanted constant action. Esav doesn't stay at home. Esav doesn't have patience. He can't be at home. He's got to be out doing something, fighting someone. We had a guy who told us his brother became a soldier in a unit that spends their days patrolling the border and beating up people who try to infiltrate the border. And he said, you know, my brother, from the time he was 13, if he didn't beat up someone that day, he had a bad day. Couldn't have a day where he wasn't beating someone up. So he found an angle to let it out. So there are people who have that nature, and if they don't take control of that nature, then they're going to follow that nature. V'Yaakov hefech shtehen. Yaakov was the exact opposite on both counts. Ki haya ish tam v'yashar olech. Yaakov was a whole person. He was honest. Things he did things right. V'tifato l'shevet bayit. And Yaakov was the happiest when he was home. He's not interested in leaving the house. Hinei ora yitziratam v'tchunot midotam liyot tivihem b'tachlit ha'ipuch. The Torah tells us even before they've developed that their natures are diametrically opposed. Ki Hashem yitbarach that's the nature Hashem gave them. Lo echicham, Hashem didn't force them to be these types of people, but Hashem did give them opposite natures. And that's why even within their mother's womb, it's unnatural for them to be together. I don't believe, says the Ran, that you have two fetuses that are not yet developed, and they're going to get a prophetic vision, and each one of them is going to know where they're headed, and that's why they're going to be beating one another up in utero. I don't think that's what it means, says the Ran. Doesn't make sense to me that two babies are going to have this prophetic vision. They don't know how to say Gaga and Gugu, and you're going to start giving them prophetic vision, and they're going to be beating one another up. No, I don't think that's what it means.
But in the womb, we do assume that the Malach is teaching in Torah.
So whatever that means.
Whatever that means, I'm saying. But obviously, there's a certain ruchnius capacity that's already inherent inside of them.
Right. Okay. Aval titzlech lezet tzibat tivit. So I rather find a natural reason al kol panim. Vehizot, so I want to explain naturally why the two didn't fit in utero. Ki kasher tbi Hashem itbach elu shnei obarim, hechik otam tachlit amechak leman lo yotu ze laze. Hashem placed in their nature that they're diametrically opposed. And even in a physical sense, what being together in utero was bothersome. Each one couldn't stand the other. V'yem eze kol echad mehem menagad lechavero omed babetin. So their nature was such that even in utero, each one was bothered by the other, but from a natural cause. Because their hormonal makeup, their chemical makeup, something there was bugging one another already in utero. U'mashel kol koach tivi rodef efcho, kasho yifgeshenu, v'yikomem oto al kocho, o yivrach mipanav, haya kol chan meil ha'ubarim, doresh bekoach tivi, litkaber al chavro, larutz mipanav. And being that in nature, you find that when opposites meet, they can either attract or they can reflect. So what happens here is the two in utero are trying either to attract but overcome or to break forth, break out. That's what's happening in utero. Either they're pouncing on one another or pouncing out to get away from one another. It's like two magnets. You put two magnets, either they're going to climb one on top of the other or they're going to push one another away. But they're not going to stand there calmly. So it's going back and forth. היה כל אחד מאלה עוברים דורש בכוח טבעו להתגבר לחברו לרוץ מפניו והוא שאמר ויתרוצצו. That's why it's described as ויתרוצצו. What does it mean ויתרוצצו? שהיא מילה מורה על הריצה ועל הריצוץ. ויתרוצצו could come from the word לרוץ, to run away. It could come from the word ריצוץ, to bash his head. So which one is it? ויתרוצצו. You have the two tzaddiks there to tell you both. They were both trying to run away from one another and bash one another over the head. Whatever they can do, just to resolve the situation. V'kiven Hashem itbach b'zeh liot kol achad mutba b'sinat chavro v'rechuk mimenu. Hashem's plan here was that they have opposite natures and hate one another and be distant from one another. K'kiruv ha'mzagim yekerev ha'midot v'timashech ha'ava. Because two people who have similar natures, so that brings them close and that breeds love. Ah, what an insight. What do you look for in a wife? Look for someone that has enough similarity to your nature that it will breed your love. When people are similar in their natures, that breeds closeness and love. When you meet someone who's the exact opposite of you, so then it's like, okay, stay away, and if we get too close, there's going to be an explosion. And I say, says the Ran, that this is also the concept of the snake, the hatred that Hashem implanted in the snake to human beings and human beings to the snake. But that's not what we're talking about here, so I can't go into that. But Hashem nonetheless gave these two children, Esav and Yaakov, opposite natures because Hashem wanted hatred between the two. And we'll pick up here next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, with the discussion of the rights to the firstborn and where that enmity takes us. So Hashem wants hatred, and where does that lead? So we'll pick up here, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week.